Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
The 42nd edition of the international circus, known as the World Economic Forum, has ended. Once again, thousands of participants and journalists descended on the traditional resort of Davos in Canton Graubünden to stage yet another show of pseudo-concern for the world and its problems. Years ago, I was one of the first journalists to cover the event. It was full of optimism then, but much has changed in the meantime. Like any big-time circus, this one also has a sideshow. In the case of the WEF, it's a few well-chosen, politically correct figures from charitable and developmental assistance groups and their partners, as well as representatives of carefully selected social and environmental interests, brought to Davos to provide a facade of concern. But the real business of the World Economic Forum is business and politics, which are really the same thing in today's world. It's full of self-glorification and self-praise, not to mention self-enrichment. Albert Einstein once said, "We cannot solve today's problems with the same thinking that created them." In the 1990s, a popular management slogan was, "You're either part of the problem or part of the solution." Both phrases apply to the World Economic Forum, and in my opinion, in the negative sense. While a great self-inspired show is made of the image of WEF participants being a group of great forward-looking minds pondering solutions to today's problems, in reality, the majority of them were the cause of today's economic and social malaise in the first place. When the Berlin Wall fell back in November 1989, it also signaled the end of the capitalism with a human face facade that Western propaganda had promoted as an answer to Soviet communism in the Cold War. But when the wall fell, so did the false face of Western capitalism. In the meantime, we've returned to a form of vicious, law-of-the-jungle, dog-eat-dog capitalism that hasn't been seen since the days of Charles Dickens. One doesn't have to look far to find the proof of this statement. Today's newscasts are full of reports of greed and scandal, growing poverty and misery, even in the formerly wealthy nations of Europe. The aim of this neo-capitalism, I'm convinced, is the dismantling of the compassionate social welfare structures that took Europe centuries to construct, and which were heavily promoted and even revered, that is, until the Berlin Wall fell. These values are now anathema to neo-capitalism. The so-called shakers and movers in Davos have an agenda, and it all revolves around their own selfish interests. Western European social democracy is simply bad for business. I'm not an economist, but I have a strong feeling that Europe's current economic crisis was not caused from within, but was engineered from without. I recently heard a late-night American network talk show in which an unidentified but obviously well-educated and well-placed VIP said that he was a Satanist, and that he and many others like him had infiltrated all levels of politics and finance, and that they had the entire world under their control. I have no reason to doubt his statement. Be that as it may, the WEF circus takes place under the protection of the Swiss Confederation in the form of thousands of police and military personnel who provide security, including expensive aerial surveillance, the bill for which is paid by the Swiss taxpayer, in a country that normally champions the concept known in German as the Verursacherprinzip, which roughly translates into, "He who causes the problem pays the bill." This obviously doesn't apply to the World Economic Forum. perhaps in deference to all the business it brings to Davos, and its usefulness in political and business networking, also for Switzerland. Cynical? Yes, but completely appropriate. Leaving that particular annual circus in the Swiss mountains, we turn to another one, and this is more pleasant. February is the traditional month for what is often called the Swiss Ski Circus. While this refers to major Swiss races on the World Cup calendar, it also applies to the tens of thousands of ordinary Swiss winter sports enthusiasts who take to the slopes with their families for 1 or 2 weeks of winter sports recreation. This is so much ingrained in Swiss culture that schools all over the country close for several weeks to promote winter sports activities. Many children participate in school-organized ski camps. For most kids, this is a high point on the school calendar, and they have a lot of fun learning to live and play together. It's as much a social learning event as it is a sporting event. As the WEF circus packed up and left town, the same Davos prepared to receive these Swiss young people looking forward to winter sports of a more wholesome kind. In my book, this is the circus of a much higher value, and one which will make a far more lasting and positive contribution to the world in the long run, long after the World Economic Forum and what it stands for have disappeared.
At this moment, I'm standing in the old city hall overlooking Marktplatz. That's the old marketplace. There must be at least 20,000 people here this morning. And according to my watch, we have just about 30 seconds to go before all the lights in the city of Basel will be turned off at the stroke of 4 o'clock. All of the church bells, all of the bells in this entire city will sound precisely at 4 o'clock, and we should hear that very plainly standing here just above the marketplace. The various cliques of the city of Basel are preparing to march their way into this precise point. Right here at Marktplatz is the point where they will converge, and there are the lights!
That's the beginning of it all, the Morgenstreich at the marketplace in the heart of Basel. It's the time that every Basler's been waiting for all year. But the description of the Morgenstreich can't be appreciated until we go back, or in a way go forward, to Fasnacht itself and explain what it's all about. It's the Lenten season now, and in many parts of Europe, especially in Germany, the pre-Lenten carnivals have already been held. The historical reason is religious. Just before Lent, people had one last chance to eat, drink, and be merry before those 40 days of fasting and sacrifice had to be reckoned with. But Basel's carnival, called Fasnacht, is different. It starts after Lent, and we'll find out why later. The earliest reference to Fasnacht in Basel comes from the year 1376. At that time, Fasnacht was as much a pagan welcome to spring as it was religious in significance. The Catholic Church tolerated Fasnacht as a kind of safety valve before Lent, but when Basel became reformed, the Protestant Church imposed numerous bans on Fasnacht. But it survived. In the early days, Fasnacht consisted of Basel citizens parading through the streets with masks and banners, followed by banquets given by the old guilds. Today, Fasnacht is different. The guilds have become Fasnacht cliques. Those are groups of people who organize and participate in Fasnacht. The masks have stayed, but now they're part of elaborate costumes. And today, the focal point of Fasnacht is music. There's a saying that Baslers are born with drumsticks in their hands. Indeed, drumming is a Basler specialty, and so is fifing. The fifes and drums are heard all through Fasnacht, which today lasts 3 days. The drumming and fifing tradition is attributed to the military. One of the stories is that the Basler militiamen were called to arms and inspection early in the morning by the sound of fife and drum. This, it is said, was the origin of the Morgenstreich at 4 a.m., the first Monday after Ash Wednesday every year, the start of Fasnacht. At 4 o'clock precisely, all the marchers converge on the marketplace and parade around the square carrying lanterns inscribed with satirical slogans, all to the tune of fifes and drums. After that, the marchers disperse and parade through the rest of the old part of Basel to the first light of dawn. All through the night, people pack the restaurants to eat the traditional onion pie and flour soup. In the restaurants, masked merrymakers confront people with what seems to be sharp remarks and quick Basel wit. In other restaurants during Fasnacht, schnitzelbanks are held where one after the other, sharp-witted jokesters poke fun at local politics or events during the last year. On Monday afternoon, a giant parade is held to show off more Basel humor and elaborate floats put together by the Fasnacht cliques. In short, Fasnacht in Basel is 3 days of musical madness. Dr. Theo Gunter is an old Basler and director of the Basel Folklore Museum. I asked him to trace the evolution of Fasnacht and give some personal impressions of the 3 days that every Basler waits for.
We have to distinguish between time before the French Revolution and the time afterwards. Before the French Revolution, there practically couldn't be said that there would be a difference between the Basler Fasnacht and the Fasnacht of any other town, either in Switzerland or in Europe, let's say the Zurich Fasnacht or the Luzern Fasnacht or the Fasnacht in Cologne or in Munich. But afterwards, after 1800, after the French Revolution, there, in a way, what we call Basler Fasnacht really began. It was a sort of self-representation of the citizens of the town of Basel, and it became a real town Fasnacht only then. Most certainly each of these towns has the idea that it has the best carnival existing in the world. We might in a way say that the origin was more or less the same. But then special elements of a carnival developed and became typical for a town. And typical for Basel are the Morgenstreich, the lanterns, fifing and drumming. And in a way also the satire, if it is really good satire. These would be Basel element, and with these element, Basel is, let me now talk as a Basel, is outstanding.
At the heart of Fasnacht's organization are the cliques. A clique is a group of Fasnacht-loving Baslers who make up costumes, arrange the parades, and supply the music. Mrs. Ursula Bingler is a member of a small clique called the Half Shoe.
The big cliques are very organized groups, and we didn't want to be so organized. We wanted to make Fasnacht everybody his way. So, for instance, with the costumes, the big cliques have all, everybody has got the same costumes. It is made up by one member, and the other ones just put them together. And what we do is just choosing a theme, and everybody makes the costume the way he likes it. It's so not only the Fasnacht itself, but also the preparation is sort of fever, and it's very important. About a month before, all our free time is used for making masks and so on. And we couldn't do that in a big clique.
So you feel freer having your own group?
Yes.
Well, how does a person join a clique?
The big leagues, they have young groups with them. So they're kids of about 6 to 10 years. They start learning to fife and to drum. And later on, they may join the adult group of the same clique. And we, the small groups like we are, they just, it's a group of friends which decide is when they would like to make Fasnacht.
So you're not so choosy about your members. As long as they can play a decent fife or drum, you're happy to have them.
Oh, no, we're pretty critical too, but rather in a personal way. It's not important that they are born in Basel or anything like that, but it's important that we like them and we would like to be a group where the members understand each other and have about the same sense of humor and the same sense of Fasnacht.
Is it common for a woman to take part in a clique?
Yes, this is very common. There are very few old cliques which have on one side a group for women and another one for men. But usually they're mixed. It is more usual that women play the pipes. There are very few women playing the drum. This is a physical question because the drums are large and heavy and so on. But there, it's also usual that men can play the pipes. It is not, well, the drum is for men, but the pipe is for men and for women.
Costumes are a very important part of a clique and certainly Fasnacht. These can be fairly expensive. I wonder how the average clique is financed.
There are medals made for each Fasnacht, a special one by an artist. And these medals are sold by the cliques. And this is the most important way to finance.
As a matter of fact, the Basel Fasnacht gets started or takes place after Lent has started, which was meant to be some kind of an insult against the church. I think that the Fasnacht actually took place after the official Lent and not before.
I have heard about this argument. I don't know whether it's true, but however, Basel was always a reformed town. And so it's possible that they like to make a little joke against the Catholic group, and that may be the reason it is later than the other Fasnachts.
That music was inspired by Basel's tradition of fifing and drumming. The composer is Basel jazz musician George Gruntz. To the layman, Basel drumming seems erratic and much different from the usual 1-2-1-2 march beat associated with the military drum. I asked George Gruntz how this happened.
Drumming, what concerns the rudiments, are absolutely the same, but this is only the basis, and those rudiments is done is a very special, very typical type or kind of music. Well, where usually drumming would go like, you know, this type of tang 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 tang, on the same basic structure of 1-2-1-2. Here in Basel, they would do something like
pretty hard to march to.
Yes, incidentally, I've seen very often youngsters, they learn for years, they learn drumming in their rooms, and when they get the first time on the real big drums to the streets, they are unable to march with what they have been learning. But of course, there is always a musical basis of a slow two-beat.
Well, looking at it in a slightly different way, there is a certain unpredictability about Basel drumming. That's something we've made clear. And if we look at modern jazz, for example, it's not Dixieland, it's not the old-time jazz. There's nothing predictable about modern jazz to the layman, the listener. Do you think there's a parallel there, that there might be some similarities in the approach to drumming in Basel and in modern jazz?
Oh, yeah. The German jazz critic Joachim Ernst Behrendt, he one day stated that there are only two drum traditions now existing on the earth which have nothing to do with parade or military drumming at all: jazz drumming and Basel drums.
Well, we've talked a great deal about the Basler drumming, but if we turn to the fifes for a moment, do you find anything special about fifing in Basel?
What, of course, is very special is also that a whole lot of heart is involved, and the instruments are very, very old style. It's a wooden instrument. You're getting a very special and a very warm sound out of it.
The fifes and drums of Basel, the focal point of the Basel Fasnacht. But in recent years, another form of Fasnacht music has emerged, where everybody, musical or not, can take part. It's called Kuchenmusik. Not everybody likes Kuchenmusik, and George Gruntz is one of them.
I must say that, unfortunately, there are too many Kuchenmusiken in Basel, and sometimes it's even difficult to dig the sounds of this town because there is such a lot of Kuchenmusik noise around you.
Is it noise or music?
No, this is not music at all. I mean, it's just fun.
We've mentioned wit and humor as being a vital part of Fasnacht. The clique's lanterns bear satirical slogans. There's the Schnitzelbank, where local politics and current affairs are torn to shreds. And there's intriguing, where masked figures confront people to poke fun and point out personal weaknesses. I spoke on the subject of Basler wit with Dr. Paul Kutzwiller, who's the tourist office director in Basel.
Dr. Kutzwiller, are the Baslers really as witty as some people say they are?
As a Basler, I have, of course, difficulty to say yes to that. It would be telling good things about ourselves. But I think they are a bit quicker than other people, and you can discover that at the quickness of their speech already. And they tend to turn, to twist things around. I think they are not wittier in that way, but they are quicker, and they have that tendency to answer people in this way.
Well, if we accept as a fact that this wittiness does it exist more around Fasnacht or during Fasnacht than it does in other times, other parts of the year?
Well, I think this kind of wittiness comes a little bit from the Fasnacht. You are supposed to be witty at Fasnacht. You have to have an answer ready. And you are a very boring person taking part in Fasnacht, or even as a spectator, if you can't answer back or tell somebody something halfway witty.
Is this kind of joking, is this kind of quickness in wit, something which only a Basler can understand?
No, I don't think so. But of course, it has certain rules. You can do some things and you can't do some things. And usually it sounds like offending while we just try to be sharp. And if somebody is not used to that and expects only nice things to be said, and suddenly he is attacked. and people are attacked. About the Fasnacht is a satirical thing, it is a local thing, and it plays as well against our confederates. If somebody comes from Zurich or from Bern, he might get a remark on that, and perhaps not a very nice one. And then, of course, he doesn't know what to do now. Does he mean it, or is it a joke? And it's always a joke, may I say. Let's speak about this kind of intriguing, that people with masks go around the restaurants at night to look for people unmasked, which they know, to whom they can now say the truth, which they a year long can't say because they have no mask on. Let's say an employee of mine. It's not the moment to have a showdown with your employer. But, for instance, you could tell everybody that he is always coming late, that he, for instance, pats the girls on their back, etc., etc. But you are not going to ask for a higher salary or to complain about something which is not in order.
Well, the intriguing and the mutual joking and witticisms that take place during some parts of Fasnacht is one kind of humor. But then there's a special kind, which is, well, at least takes place at what's called the Schnitzelbank.
Ich stand drauf, Herrje. Ich stand drauf, aufs klare Varieté.
The Schnitzelbank has the same kind of subjects, the local events of the year, or something somebody did which was silly during the year. Now, there is an art in it. It is a song. It has verses. And the art is to let nobody know what it's really going to be. You see, you start off at some very remote point, even with another subject, and suddenly you add it up in the last verse, if possible in the last word. And that needs, part of a poet, a very high technique with words and with the music going with that song. And there are some real masters, there are some people less clever, and people are waiting for that, and that these singers are preparing themselves all the year round. The main thing is it must be short, and in this shortness must be witty.
To give you some idea of the wild atmosphere of Fasnacht, let's listen to what happened when I tried to ask Dr. Gutzwiller about the humorous slogans painted on the lanterns carried by Fasnacht marchers. The tourist office was invaded.
Dr. Gutzwiller, if we could turn for a minute to another aspect of humor in the Basler Fasnacht, that is the lanterns, which are carried by...
And I never did get to ask Dr. Gutzwiller about those slogan-bearing lanterns. Well, now that we've covered the prime elements of the Basel Fasnacht, the music, the humor, the history, it's time to push the clock ahead to 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. Morgenstreich begins, thus heralding the official start of the 3 days of music and madness we've tried to outline in this program. But nothing is better than being there. If you plan to visit Switzerland around this time next year, try to fit in a trip to Basel. Hotel rooms are scarce. You'll be lost in enormous crowds. The noise is deafening. But Fasnacht is something you have to experience to appreciate. And if you get up very early in the morning, or better yet, don't even go to bed, you'll make your way to Marktplatz, the marketplace. Together with thousands of others, you'll wait in the cold, wondering just why you decided to go to Fasnacht in the first place. But then the lights go out, and an instant later, the whole area comes alive with enough music to wake the dead. Fasnacht has just started.
There are the lights. The lights are turned off. That means, and here we can already hear the drums and the fifes starting up. Very, very precise. Already see the lanterns. All of the cliques are carrying lanterns as well, of course, as playing their fifes and drums. And now there's a clique coming directly from my left, and let's try to pick out some of their specific music if that's possible.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.